The following is a special announcement for listeners of the Where is God's Word program with Bruce Musselman. On the morning of May 15th, Brother Bruce Musselman went home to be with the Lord following a short illness. His last new radio program aired just 8 days before his passing. Please join me in praying for the Musselman family and Bruce's friends and colleagues. For now and the next couple of months, we will be airing classic Bruce Musselman programs from our archives. We trust you will be edified and encouraged by these vintage programs. Now, let's join this week's edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantua Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Our scripture verse for tonight is Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now right there it says that it is the gospel of Christ, and today there are many people preaching many different gospels, but the gospel that is taught in the Word of God is the gospel of Christ. Now, in the New International Version, it says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile." Now, it says believe, but if you take the word Christ out, which the NIV takes out, then it just says believe, and this fits into the New World Order and to the thinking of many religious people. All you have to do is believe. Well, believe in what? In the King James, it says that we are to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is the gospel? And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Now, he's going to tell you what the gospel is. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." Now, the first point here in the gospel is Christ. Who is he? And according to the Word of God, he is God manifest in the flesh. And it says in Isaiah 7:14, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which is God with us. And so the birth of Christ is the gospel. It tells us that that Jesus Christ was God in a human body, God come down, manifest in the flesh. And then the gospel is about Jesus Christ. So all this is true. The gospel would include about Christ that he demonstrated that he was God. Now, we have people in a mental institution that might believe that they are God, and other people have believed that also. But we would ask them, by what authority, by what evidence, by what proof should we believe in you? And if we would ask Jesus that, Christ that, he would say his miracles. He said that, "Believe me for the very work's sake." Hundreds of thousands of Israeli Jews and also Gentiles saw him heal the sick, open blind eyes, heal people full of leprosy, raise the dead. And he proved that he was God by the fact of what he did. And he says, "Believe me for my work's sake." In fact, Jesus said to the people of his day, "If I had not done the works that I had done, then you would not have sinned, but now your sin remaineth." See? And then Paul says the gospel is Christ died. Now, God showed his wrath on sin by the punishment that Jesus took. He was smashed in the face with the rod till you could not recognize him. He was beat in the back till his back was like a plowed field. He was spit on and humiliated and then put on a cross and put nails in his hands and nails in his feet and a sword through his side. And it shows the wrath of God against man's sin. But on that cross, the Bible teaches, it also shows the love of God. For God said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die," and that man would suffer the judgment and punishment of his sin. But God's love said that "I will come down to this earth and I will pay the punishment for man's sin." And so when Jesus died, he was paying our punishment. I ask people sometimes, why did Jesus die? And some say, Well, he died to open heaven's door, and some say, well, he died for our sins. But a lot of people can say that. They don't understand what it means. And what it means is he died for our sins. He was punished for every sin that we have ever committed or ever will commit. And the Bible says that when we put our trust in him, he is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And Jesus made this statement. He says, all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. And the act of honoring Jesus Christ as your God gives you eternal life. Then Jesus said in John 5:24, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. You don't wait till you get to heaven to get it. You get it right now. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And so, first of all, in the gospel, it's Christ, and then it's he's died for our sins according to the scriptures, because the Old Testament told that all these things would happen. And verse 4, it says that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Well, Jesus was the only one in all of history. They have comparative religions, but there is no comparison between Jesus Christ and the rest of the religious leaders. Because he was saying to his followers, I will physically and bodily die, and I will physically and bodily come out of the tomb the third day. And he did exactly that. And James, his brother, became a believer in him and became the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. Peter became a believer. James, John, and over 500 people saw Jesus bodily alive at many times for the next 40 days. So that's the gospel, but it is the gospel of Christ. Many times the media says, well, such and such a religious leader is preaching the gospel, but it has nothing to do with the gospel of Christ. Now, in the NIV, the Catholic Bible, the Jehovah's Witness Bible, the New ASV, and the modern versions, Christ is taken out. And his name is not mentioned before, or the verse after that in these versions. And so you have a gospel, and Paul says, beware lest someone preach some other gospel than I have preached unto you. And so we say that this is such an issue, Bible translations. I've said this many times, but the modern ones primarily are based on what is called the Vatican Bible, and it started to be promoted in the year 1450 and has been promoted ever since then in the Sinaiticus. And these are corrupt Bibles, and they were promoted and put out by Constantine. And everybody agrees that Constantine called for Bibles to be put out, but Constantine, after taking a position at the Council of Nicaea that Jesus was God, later joined a church who was pastored by Eusebius of Nicomedia. Nicomedia was the place where Constantine, the Roman emperor, had his palace, and he was an Arian. That is, he taught that Jesus Christ was a created God or a lesser God. And Jesus said all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father, see? And so these two Bibles, the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And so today people that are unsaved, that are in the business of dealing with translations, they have made up a number of theories to say that these two translations that disagree with each other 3,000 times in the Gospels alone, 3,000 words in the Gospels, these are the oldest and best manuscripts. If you ever read that statement, oldest and best, it's referring to these two corrupt manuscripts. Now, they come from the Alexandrian line, and we say that everyone in the Alexandrian line that copied it changed it to fit the way he thought God should have written it. But the 99% of the Greek manuscripts belong to the received text, and they have a tremendous agreement, and they back up the King James. But the 1% belongs to the Alexandrian group, and they disagree with each other constantly. And since they were Arian, and those Bibles are Arian Bibles, they take out the name of Christ out of his own gospel. And so what we're saying, what we're doing is very important, because it is the very person and character of Christ we're talking about, and then it is the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to talk a little bit also about what Jesus said about the Word of God. And we found this in Luke chapter 24, verse 25. And here's what Jesus taught about the Word of God. First of all, he taught that a person is a fool not to believe what the prophets have spoken. Verse 25 of Luke 24, "Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Now, the prophets were the ones that wrote the Old Testament. And we know that they were prophets of God because they predicted things that would happen in their day that came to pass right in front of the people. And they predicted many things. They were right 100% of the time. Today we have people say they're prophets, but they would be stoned to death if they were in the Old Testament, because if the prophecy did not come true 100% of the time, then it would be a false prophet, and they would be considered a false prophet, and they would be stoned to death. But it also predicted things that would happen in the future, and it told all about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so Jesus said that a person was a fool, no matter how much education that he had, no matter how many degrees he had, no matter how religious he was, if he did not believe the Old Testament prophets. Now, Jesus also taught that a person was slow of heart if he did not believe the prophets. That is, he had emotional problems with believing God's word. It could be sin in his life. It could be pride, which is the spirit of the devil. It could be many different reasons, but Jesus said that he said unto them, "O fools and slow of heart to believe." In other words, God has given the world incredible evidence, tremendous evidence. It's called infallible proof, and the Bible is loaded with proof of what it is saying, but man today is slow of heart. It's an emotional problem. It's a problem with his heart that he wants to sin. And so that is why he rejects the word of God. And then Jesus taught that man is a fool who doesn't believe all that the prophets have spoken. It says, and we'll read that verse again. Jesus says, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." We're to believe everything that the word of God has spoken. And Jesus said that a man is a fool. He is tampering with the destination of his own soul if he does not believe all that the prophets have spoken. And many people have come, and religious leaders, they would want us to accept them, but they don't have a passport. When Jesus came into Israel, he had a passport, and that was the books of the Old Testament that told in detail all the details about him. But people reject it because of sin and because of a heart that is sinful. And so the proof is there in the Word of God. So we are to believe the Word of God. All right, we have a caller on the line. Chuck, go ahead.
Hi, Bruce. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm praising the Lord. How are you?
Doing pretty good. We have a mutual friend, Alfred Davis.
Okay, amen. I know him. He's a good brother.
Yes. I wanted to ask you about the two texts that underlie the Westcott and Hart text. The Textus Vaticanus, if I'm right, that was found in the trash somewhere, wasn't it?
Well, it was the Sinaiticus manuscript that was found in the trash, and
okay,
that was found about 1840 on a monastery in Mount Sinai, and they were about ready to throw it in a wastebasket, and a fellow named Tischendorf took it out of the wastebasket. But it shows what those monks thought of that particular thing. It has many, many corrections on it.
Okay.
And the other one is the Vaticanus. It's, of course, in the Vatican Library in Rome.
Okay, and you say those two texts disagree with each other 3,000 times?
3,000 words in the Gospels alone.
God, that's amazing.
And this is what the modern versions are based on. And if you see a note that says oldest and best, they come from about the year 335. They're referring to these two ancient Bibles. But they're Arian, and that's why in the modern versions, they're actually what is called Arian Bibles.
Okay.
And many Trinitarian people, churches and everything that would claim to be Trinitarian and believe it, that in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, yet they're using Arian Bibles.
Huh.
And there's a long reason for it, but they're basing it on primarily these two manuscripts. But the Alexandrian also has other manuscripts, and all of them are constant disagreement with one another. You could find five scripture verses and have five different words in these scripture verses, because everybody that copied it, they didn't fear God. And so they just copied, when they thought that they disagreed with it, they just copied it down the way they thought it should be.
Yeah. There is a number of how many words are missing in the NIV compared to the King James. Do you know what that number is?
Oh, it's some...
It's a huge number.
I just read, I think, 6,000 or something.
Yeah.
But it's massive, you know.
Okay, I have one last question for you.
It's
about 1 John 5, and I think the verse is either 7 or 10, where it says, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one.
Yeah.
I have a Greek professor who said that they couldn't find a manuscript to support that verse that was earlier than like 1695. And Pastor Al had told me that, no, there were a number of texts that support that verse that are very old, and I wondered if you could name some of those off the top of your head.
I'm glad to answer that, and we've talked about it already, but... They just say Erasmus said if he found one manuscript, he put it in. I think that's a baloney story. But first of all, Luther, when he translated the New Testament at the Wartburg Castle, he did it in very short order. Mm-hmm. And he had a Bible there that was being used hundreds of years before him. It was a translation into German, and it has 1 John 5:7 in it. It's called the Tepl Bible.
Okay.
And then it was in the old Latin Bible, and actually Jerome's Bible became the official Bible of the Catholic Church, and they took that verse into Jerome's Bible, although he didn't put it in 800. But it was in the old Latin, which came out in 135. But not only that, there's a fellow named Priscillian, and he died as a martyr for Christ about 380. He quoted it. Mm-hmm. Then there's a man named Cyprian that referred to it. In 250, he's a famous church father. Then Athanasius, who is the leader at the Council of Nicaea in 325 and defend the deity of Christ, he quotes it. Then there's a man named Tertullian, who was a lawyer in Carthage, North Africa, in the year 200. And Tertullian wrote in books in Latin and Greek, and he in his writings, he tells where the original autographed copies were kept. And he never questions the verse, 1 John 5:7. There's three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So preachers, that they haven't heard this information. They don't tell them that, you know, and it's a shame. But in other words, there's early church fathers quoting it.
Yeah.
And so it's in the King James. Well, listen, thank you for calling. We have Len on the line now.
Thank you, Bruce.
Okay, Len, go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Musselman. I want to say this is a very interesting conversation and dialogue. I have a very simple question. I wanted to ask you a question regarding all of the modern famous preachers. I listen to all of these preachers on the radio and the television, and all of them, many of them with large congregations and well-known and perhaps even respected in Christendom. And many of them have decided that it's okay and that it's good to use some of these other versions, and they will declare that they too are the Word of God. Why would you say that these wise men, or seemingly wise men, men of God, have decided to use this on such a wide scale in the United States? I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Okay, thank you for calling in, Lynn, and... The answer to this is, I try to make it simple, but it's been a long time that the Greek professors in the colleges and seminaries have been teaching this propaganda for the modern versions. And it started in 1881, Westcott and Hort, who believed a lot of false doctrine. They'd never be allowed in a Bible-believing church today. They made up a text, and they said the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus were the best manuscripts. And so they put out actually an Arian Bible. Well, there is a tremendous discussion and debate on this between 1881 and 1900. And a lot of fundamental leaders decided to just teach the King James Bible in their Bible institutes. But about 30 years later, and that's about 1930, a lot of these schools decided to teach the Greek, and they had forgot that this debate had ever taken place. And so they brought in Greek teachers, and the Greek teachers taught the corrupt text. And so actually the propaganda has been going on ever since around 1930 in evangelical and fundamental schools. And Jesus says, you make the word of God of no effect because your tradition. So they were taught this in the school, and they can't get away from what they were taught in their schools. They just follow the tradition of their school. A second reason, the Bible says, if any man consent not to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is proud, knowing nothing. And Jesus, in Luke chapter 2, verse 33, or Luke 2, 33, the modern versions say his father and his mother, and they called Joseph Jesus' father. And yet in that very same chapter, Jesus rebukes Mary, and she starts to cover up for, because when she tells her friends that she is the mother of the Messiah or mother of Christ, why, it would be, there'd be too much flack. So she starts calling Joseph Jesus' father. So Jesus is in front of a group of scribes when he's 12 years old in the temple. And Mary says, your father, referring to Joseph, and I have sought you sorrowfully. And Jesus corrects her in that very same chapter and says, I must be about my father's business. Now, if the modern versions are right, then Jesus is lying or doesn't know what he's talking about when he says he's the Son of God. But he never called Joseph his father. And in the very same chapter, all the modern versions say that Joseph was Jesus' father. And so the Bible says, if a man consent not to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is proud, knowing nothing. When we get saved, we have a new nature that comes into us. But brother, we got an old sinful nature. And the Bible says, and this refers to any preacher, any scholar, man at his best state is altogether vanity. That's the way God looks at him, see? And this is vain. The evidence and proof is overwhelming for the King James. And that's why we're trying to talk about it. Now, another reason is once they get, when they were taught this, there is an appeal to their ego. They'll say, the scholars say, the brilliant thinkers say, they'll say all these different people that are intellectual. And so they can instantly be intellectual if they junk their King James and take up an NIV or New ASV or whatever the latest one that's coming out. See, now, there's another reason. Not only that, Jesus says in John chapter 5, you love the honor that comes from one another, therefore you cannot hear my words. And we have evolutionists today, I believe, the biggest fairy tale that's been disproved over and over and over again, and they will not debate a creationist because it's such a bunch of nonsense. But they believe this out of their heart, and people can convince themselves of almost anything. So the people that a lot of preachers are hanging around with, they all have been taught this, and they believe in the modern versions, and if they would go back to the King James, they would be looked down upon. But there have been many people that have gone back to the King James when they studied the issue. Most of the people that promote creationism, the scientists that promote it, in reading their works, they have studied the issue, and they do follow the King James. And there's many, many people today. I read that nearly 6 to 1 people are reading the authorized King James Bible. So the Holy Spirit gives witness to it. Well, thank you for that call. I want to just say a few things that Jesus taught. Jesus said that the prophets taught that Christ would die and rise. And he taught this in Luke 24, 26 and verse 46. And he taught that all things would be fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Jesus quoted proof texts of the Old Testament. He believed in Genesis account. He took it literally. He says, in the beginning, he made the male and female. And he believed in the flood. And so he believed these things. We believe we have a perfect Bible. It's the King James Bible, which is the Word of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mattaway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.